feel like we haven't really taken a second to appreciate your beautiful new background.
Oh, well, it's not finished yet, so we can hold the appreciation.
Hold the applause.
But it's beautiful. I'm not done yet. There's like still stuff that's like just randomly scattered. But I did frame the article that my friend Lauren had written in about her like haunted sleepover that made the local newspaper in my hometown.
Honestly, that is kind of like, you know, like when people frame like newspaper articles about themselves, like doing something really successful. I kind of love that so much because it's like framing your diploma.
This is my version of fame. Yeah. I'm like, this is the most famous I'll ever get. My local newspaper talking about my haunted house. Like, this is all that I could ever ask for from the universe.
You should submit that to like Facebook Meta Business to verify you on social platforms.
There is an article. I know. It's so funny because I haven't talked to Lauren in years. And the day we talked about it, where I read that story, she messaged me on direct message. And I can't even remember what she said on Instagram. It's just like, it was just like a reaction to something that I had posted. And I was like, wait, Lauren, I literally just read your article. She's like, I forgot that I wrote that.
Also like spooky timing.
I know. Very serendipitous. But this is Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two Girls, One Ghost. And we are your ghostesses. That is Corinne. I am Sabrina. And this is an encounters episode where basically you send us your ghostly, spooky encounters to our email. And we read them back to you. And the fact that we get to do this, the fact that this is our job, we get to tell each other and read ghost stories is coolest freaking thing in the world.
It is. It's like, who would have thought you could actually do this? That's wild.
I mean, I don't think we really thought we could do this.
Well, thanks to all of you for being haunted. No, we did not expect it to be what it has become. Yeah, we didn't even think anyone like would really listen. So, but thank God people do, because now we're exposed to so many different ghost stories. And we're going to tell you a few today. Sabrina, would you like to start?
I would love to start because I have three stories and I kind of picked a theme.
Oh, I feel both excited and left out at the same time.
I'm so sorry.
I did not pick a theme, I don't think. I don't remember.
I'll read the first story and I'll let you see if you can figure out the theme. This is from our listener, Cameron, and it's called Who is Fred and Where Did He Go? Hello, fellow ghost gals. My name is Cameron, she, her, and I am very new to your podcast, but I am completely obsessed. Thank you so much for keeping me entertained and on the edge of my seat throughout all hours of the day. I'm going to start by saying my mom always said I was a creepy kid.
Yes.
Like really creepy. From when I talked to her about my dead grandma Mary that died years and years and years before I was born, that my mom never talked about because who's going to talk to a 2.5-year-old, 3-year-old about dead people? And then my super scary imaginary friend, Fred. Starting around age 3 or 4, I started talking and playing with this imaginary friend of mine named Fred. Which, yes, kids have imaginary friends, and there's nothing weird about that, right? Well, my mom likes to tell everyone that Fred was weird and really scary, and I was creepy, and only I could see and talk to Fred, but he was always there.
I love this pitch from your mom where it's like, tell me about your family. It's like, well, my child is so creepy, and she sees this other person that's there that's like super scary. And it's just like the most random, like most people are like, oh my God, my child is awesome. They love gymnastics. They join the soccer team. And it's like, my child sees dead people and I don't trust the dead at all.
And maybe you shouldn't after this story.
Mm.
One day I was playing in my room and we lived in a 2-bed, 1-bath apartment. My mom overheard me arguing. So she came into my room and asked, who are you talking to? I replied, Fred. My mom asked, who is Fred? My friend who isn't being very nice right now. My mom, completely weirded out because what do you mean he isn't nice, replied, okay, can I play with you guys? I looked at her and I said, no, Fred doesn't like you and wants you to leave. Please close the door.
Okay, no moms allowed.
My mom was completely stunned and immediately terrified and walked out of the room. All of the scary movies she'd loved watching did not prepare her for Fred. So Fred continued to be around all the time and continued to be my friend, even after we moved to my grandma's house from the apartment. My mom and grandma said that every time we went anywhere, after I got out of the car, they would go to close the door and I would scream and shout about how they're closing the door on Fred and he would get mad if they did it again. No one was allowed to talk to Fred. No one was allowed to talk to me if Fred and I were playing because, as I would say, Fred doesn't like when I play with anyone else. Fred and I would stay up all night talking and playing, and I was the only one who ever saw him. My mom finally asked, "What does Fred look like?" And I replied, "He has yellow hair and never takes baths because he's always wearing his blue shirt and it's dirty."
Yuck.
I also noted that he was a little kid like me as well. And after some time, Fred slowly went away. So my mom thought, okay, just a weird phase, I guess. My kid is just creepy. And this was around the time that I was enrolled into Catholic school, but I wasn't there for very long. When we moved again, I was in the first grade. I woke up in the middle of the night to my toys making noise, and there he was. Same yellow hair, dirty blue shirt, but a little bit older like me. I got out of bed and I walked towards him saying, "Fred, where have you been? We can't play right now. I have school tomorrow." As I walked up to him, he just disappeared, and an overwhelming heaviness came over me and my arm had a burning sensation. I told my mom the next morning that I saw Fred, and she looked at me like, "Oh God, this motherfucker is back." She looked at my arm and saw there was a massive, huge scratch left behind.
No way.
Exactly in the same spot where I felt that burning sensation right after Fred disappeared.
Oh God. You know, I was kind of waffling between whether I thought Fred was good or bad, just some innocent child who passed away when they were playing out dirty in the field. And now I am very suspicious. I trust Fred none.
Sus. Fred did not stay, but I will say about 3 years ago, after I moved to Ohio by myself, I woke up in the middle of the night to my TV turning on and off, and sure enough, there he was. Fred was back. Same yellow hair, same dirty blue shirt, but also, again, he was older, like me. I didn't move, I just stared at him, and he stared back at me. It was almost like a staring competition, and then I blinked, and he was gone. I haven't seen him since, but when I do think of him, I question, "Fred, where have you been? And why are you back now? Who are you?" My mom said she hasn't known anyone with that name or description, so she has no clue if it's an imaginary friend or a ghost just haunting me. But that's it on Fred. I'm still waiting to see if he comes back, but I haven't seen him since. I still think about him and wonder about him. Thanks for making this platform for us creepy kids to enjoy. If you want to hear about my encounter with my dead great-grandma Mary, I'll write in again. We do want to hear. And that's from Cameron.
Wow. Okay. So is this an imaginary kid theme?
Imaginary friend.
Imaginary friend theme. It's interesting. I'm like upset with Fred for appearing the same age again later, because I feel like that's something that I have associated with when people have a twin that like passes away in the womb or something.
Or a sibling just in general. Yeah.
Yeah. A sibling that it's like they grow up together in like living form and spirit form. And so I'm upset that something that appears from what we've heard to be dark and wish ill will is also doing that. But at the same time, I'm like, Fred only showed up once and then left. So it's like, what's your prerogative, Fred? What do you want?
I don't think Fred is bad. I just think, I really do believe that they're growing up together. And it seemed like, it seemed maybe Fred was a little bit possessive, sure. And that's like troublesome. But a lot of kids can have that type of behavior where it's like, Cameron's my friend. Like, you can't have her. And I wonder if Fred is from a past life or from...
That's true.
Like, it does seem like there is like some soul companionship between Fred and Cameron that maybe there's just some confusion because in a past life, Fred and Cameron were just the two of them by themselves. Maybe there was like a some sad, you know, they were on their own. They didn't have a family and it was just them against the world. And so Fred is like kind of being protective, but also possessive. And it's just confusing. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because especially since the encounter when Fred was older, there was no sort of real aggression coming. Like it was like there was a maturity to his appearance.
Don't let spring cleaning fool you. There's always a little space to add a little extra something in the bedroom. Adding a little THC can really help set the mood. And that's why we're thankful for today's sponsor, Viya. Via has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. Their best-selling High Love gummy will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify any sexual experience. This is like modern-day witchcraft for love.
Great comparison. Via also offers a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, each with their own unique strengths and effects catered to your routines. And the best part, Via legally ships in all 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door, no medical card required. So if you're 21 and up, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC and CBN sleep gummies with our exclusive code TGOG at viahemp.com. That's V-I-I-A. H-E-M-P.com.
I have used the Dreams THC and CBN sleep gummies multiple times, and I sleep like a freaking baby. I'm out. Plus, they are made with vegan and organic ingredients. Let the gummies work their magic. Head to viahemp.com and use the code TGOG to receive 15% off plus one free sample of their Sleepy Dreams gummies. 21 and up. That's viahemp.com and use code TGOG at checkout. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp.
Cameron did say it happened right after moving to Ohio by herself. So Is it a, hey, I'm still with you? Like, I know you just went through a big change, but I'm always going to be by your side and I'm always going to be your friend if you need me.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, you're changing my views on Fred.
Who am I? Who is she? I've changed.
You have changed. I also just appreciate that Cameron's mom reacted, I think, the same way that we would, where if other people hadn't watched horror movies or weren't super into like ghost stories and stuff like that, they might just be like, oh, my child doesn't want me to play with them. Like, oh, geez, okay. But Cameron's mom immediately is like, it's a spirit not to be trusted. I know exactly what the demons want. And I just love the like immediate run to paranoia because I would do the exact same thing. Okay. Well, I have picked a couple tales to tell. And I will start with the one that is labeled, I talk to dead people in my dreams.
Oh.
Hi, Sabrina and Corinne. I've emailed you before. And as I'd mentioned in the previous email, I am half Cree and Dene, an Indigenous person of Canada. In my culture, dreams are significant and they always have meaning. This is a bittersweet email, also trigger warning, mentions of cancer, addictions, and suicide. In 2016, my grandfather, Paul, passed away from cancer, and he was my father figure in my life. We were very close. A year after his passing, I had a dream about him, and he looked like he did when I was 10. He had this classic afro, a fanny pack, white sneakers, and windbreaker pants.
I bet they were New Balance sneakers.
For sure.
I could picture it perfectly.
In my dream, I knew that he had passed away, and I asked him, what are you doing here? He said, just checking up on you. And he smiled. And everything just felt so much better, especially since I was really missing him.
Aww.
When I was in first grade, I had a best friend, Hillary, and she was the best. I remember going to her house after school and playing on Barbie.com on her computer. And one day she told me that she was moving, and then after that, I never saw her again. I don't remember her last name because we were 6 years old, so I couldn't find her on social media or anything. Mm. But many years later, I was at my university's campus's pub, and I was in the bathroom. I was hammered. And this girl, she corners me in the bathroom, and she says, Heaven? And I look at the girl who said my name, and I say, yes. And she asks me, do you remember me? And my vision is blurred and the room is spinning and I'm trying to adjust my eyes to this girl. And I say, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people. I don't. And she goes, it's me, Hillary. And my eyes widened and I cannot believe how much she has changed. She looks the same, but she also is different. She looks beautiful. Aww. She's grown up. She's mature. We both screamed. We hugged each other. It had been 15 years since I last saw her. And after that, we were basically inseparable, catching up, telling each other everything. She wanted to become a neurosurgeon and an advocate for people suffering with mental illnesses. We both were struggling with alcoholism at the time, and we both got in trouble with the law while under the influence. And we had to go to court. We took some time apart, and I thought that she just wanted space because that's what I needed. One night, I felt this sudden sadness, and I just felt like crying. So I cried and I cried and I cried myself to sleep. And then I woke up the next day and I went to my university. And one of my friends, who happens to be a faculty member at the Indigenous Student Center, told me that my best friend Hillary had passed away on campus. She had taken her own life.
Oh, no.
I don't know the reason why, but all I know is that she wanted to find me before she left this world. At that moment, I realized life is just too short. That night, I went to sleep, and in my dream, I saw Hillary. I knew in my dream that she had passed away. I went up to her. I told her I was scared, and I didn't know what to do without her, especially with our court date coming up. And she told me that everything is going to be okay. The next day, I felt better. And regarding my court date, Hillary was right. Everything was going to be okay. In 2022, I'm pregnant, and I just found out the gender, and it was a boy. My partner and I have this agreement where if our child was a girl, then I get to name her. But if the child is a boy, then my partner gets to name him. So I told them that his second/middle name will be Paul to honor my grandfather. We're sitting in the car and I asked my partner, "Do you have any names?" And after a moment of silence, they said, "Claudio." "Claudio Paul," I repeated. "I like it." And then my partner told me that he named our child after Coheed and Cambria's lead singer, guitarist, and primary lyricist, which I still absolutely love. Aww. Being pregnant with my hormones, I was feeling sad one day because my son will never get to meet his grandfather. Not too long after that, I had a dream about my grandfather. He looked the same from my previous dream about him, with the like windbreaker and the sneakers and everything.
Sneakers, fanny pack.
Yeah. Again, I knew in this dream that he had passed. I told him, "I'm pregnant." And he just smiled as if he already knew. I woke up feeling better knowing that my grandfather knows about my son. And again, with the pregnant feelers, I was feeling sad because I knew Hillary would have also really loved my son. Aww. She was such a good aunt to her nieces and nephews. And then I had a dream about her not too long after that. She was carrying a baby that was swaddled. I knew that baby was going to be my son.
Chills. Oh, that is so
it's so wow. Beautiful.
Oh, God.
Once again, I felt better knowing that my best friend and my son met in the spirit world. After my son was born, my partner and I were struggling with sleep and we were arguing more than usual. I could feel my brain just melting. I was not feeling well and I was not taking care of myself. Hillary came to me in my dream and she told me, "Make sure you take care of your mental health." I liked how she came to me when I was at my lowest points in my life to basically be like, "Hey, smarten up." So far, that's about it. I haven't talked to other dead people yet, just the ones close to me. I often have dreams about alternate universes that just feel way too real, and I'm convinced I'm just taking a glimpse of my other lives. Thank you for taking the time to read. I love the podcast. I've been listening since 2018. See you on the other side. Heaven.
Heaven. I'm just going to say this. I don't think these are dreams. You're like actually communicating with past loved ones. And
these are some serious visitations.
Very, very serious. It's like how, it's how most of my encounters are very dream. Like they exist in the dream plane. Because I think you're just.
It's your astral body.
Yeah. And you're not held back by like your consciousness, like your subconscious is able to transcend norms.
And it's like you're not physically awake. So the only thing logically in the moment that makes sense is you just assume you're dreaming because that's what you do when you're not awake.
I think it's really, really so beautiful the way that she saw Hillary holding her baby. Like,
I know.
I fully believe that the soul of Heaven's child spent a lot of time with Hillary and her grandfather before coming into the world.
Right. And I love that it's as soon as Heaven has the worry, as soon as she has the thought and the desire, they show up. So it's like they're with her son and then they hear her be like, "Oh, I wish my son could meet my grandfather." And it's like, "Oh, well, I'll just pop in and let her know that we have met."
Yeah.
And it's like same for Hillary too.
I'm so curious if, because that was a couple years ago when Heaven sent this, right? Or Heaven was pregnant in 2022. I wonder now if her son has like communicated anything about his, like seeing any spirits or communicating with his imaginary friends.
Has any memories from what happened before he was born here?
I love when Leia comes and sits in my lap. It's the best. ASMR purrs.
There she is. She comes most episodes now. I feel like she's been very snuggly this year.
She is. Also, when I record in my bed, because I all turned my heated blanket on, and she is just snuggled up.
Dream space for her.
Okay. I have another imaginary friend one. This one is kind of short because I have another one to end on that's a little bit more heartwarming, I guess I should say.
Okay.
This is from our listener. Whoa, I think I slurred all my words. Somewhere. There's a little bit of whiskey in my coffee. No, there's not.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., including us?
We're two of those happy customers.
You can grow lemons, avocados, olive or fig trees inside your home. And on top of the wide variety of houseplants already available on Fast Growing Trees.
I got a fiddle leaf fig tree. I got the coffee bean plant. What I love so much is that they have experts at Fast Growing Trees that help curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. You don't have to drive around to a bunch of nurseries and figure out like, what do I need? Fast Growing Trees makes it so easy to order online and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days.
And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever, which I'm definitely going to need because I just ordered 4 different variations of blueberry bushes.
Oh my gosh. Right now, they have some of the best deals online, like up to half off on selected plants. And listeners of our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code TGOG at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code TGOG at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code TGOG. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
This is from our listener, Rachel. It's called My Imaginary Friend's Mom's Death. Hello, ladies. We're going right into it. When I was little, I had an imaginary friend for years. Her name was Mary. I always talked about her. If we went anywhere, she was there with me from the time I was maybe 4 to 6. Even for my birthday, we also had to sing happy birthday to Mary. It's kind of like how with Cameron, like when they would close the door and she would get mad. It's like, no, well, Fred is trying to get out of the car too.
Yeah, include my friend. God, don't be so rude.
Even my sisters would say they could see her, but I think they were just trying to mess with me. Well, we lived in a town called Miller. It's a smaller part of Gary, Indiana, and it's right on the beach, and you can see Chicago from across the lake. At the beach, there was this old bathhouse with a giant rock with a plaque on it, and I couldn't read it at the time, so I just winged what I thought was written on it, and I told my mom that it was my imaginary friend's Mary's mom's grave because she died in the lake and drowned on a ship. My mom already accepted.
What in the world?
That I was a creepy kid at 3.
Jeez.
Because I would sit in the corner and talk to my dead grandmother. And then when I would color everyone's eyes, I would color completely obsidian black in all coloring books.
Why? Why?
Why not, Corinne? Because that's how spirits' eyes look.
They're just drawing the vacant bodies. It's like
emptiness.
Yeah. We're all just in our little meat sacks.
What if Mary, the imaginary friend, the black-eyed kid?
They all live under the sea. That's where they're born. That's why we don't know where they come from, just like eels.
So hearing how my imaginary friend's mom died in the lake wasn't anything new for her. But yeah, that's the story of my imaginary friend, Mary, and her dead mother.
Love it. Hate it. Enjoyed it all.
Honestly, I love it. I love imaginary friend stories because like this one also is pretty innocent. Like Mary and Rachel are just biffles. And Rachel, I like, you know, Mary told her the story of her life. Maybe Mary's mom really did die like in a shipwreck of some kind.
Right.
And so she just like associated it with this like rock and like thought it was a memorial of some kind. I don't know. I believe it.
I'm curious where the birthday tradition came from. Was this something that Rachel was doing to be a good friend? Like, hey, my friend Mary, she never gets to celebrate her birthday anymore. Like, we'll share every year. Or did they have the same birthday? Or was Mary like, you better include me or I'll kill you?
I think of my sister's older than me. And mm-hmm. I think like when it was my birthday, she would get upset and like want it to be her birthday too. You know, like I'm mm-hmm. kind of picturing that. And then like as parents, you kind of have to like, how do you teach them? Like, well, no, this is Sabrina's birthday, but like you can celebrate yeah. too. Or how do you like appease them a little bit? You know, do you have to sing happy birthday to the other kid too?
What are your siblings' birthdays?
My sister is July 12th. She's a Cancer. And my brother is November 3rd, Scorpio.
Okay, so you guys were pretty spread out.
Well, my sister and I were both summer babies, so we would have a lot of combined birthdays.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. Because my brother, your sister and my brother are only a couple days apart.
Yeah.
And obviously a few years. But we would have, my brother and I, since our birthdays were 3 weeks apart, we would have combined summer birthday parties. So my parents never, like, they always got to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because it was both of our birthdays.
I think I've told you my Survivor-themed birthday party. It's the best birthday I've ever had.
Oh, so good. I know, you told me that.
It was so fun. My mom crushed it with parties. Even for my brother, when my brother was growing up, you know, as every kid goes through like a space phase, he did like a space NASA-themed party.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom full-on built a spaceship out of like big cardboard boxes. Like she got like refrigerator-sized cardboard boxes, combined them together, painted it. I'm pretty sure I can find a photo, but like painted it as a spaceship. And then she inside Jeez. Put black lights and so people could like write in highlighter in the inside. It was so
oh
cool.
Gosh.
Like you could climb through it.
Your mom was a Pinterest mom before Pinterest existed.
Right?
So creative. I love that so much.
Snaps for Aurora.
Snaps. Me and Christian did get to a certain age. I think when I hit middle school, we stopped having combined birthdays. But he did let me, I remember specifically in like fifth or sixth grade, I was allowed to DJ his birthday party. And I played Kelly Clarkson's Miss Independence on repeat. What happened to Miss Independence?
Oh my God. That just makes me think. So I remember in eighth grade, I had a party and it was like such an innocent party. Like this is like before any drinking of any kind, well, at least that I was partaking in. But I was so excited, but I'm so bad at music. And still to this day, like music's just not my thing. Like I listen to sad girl music. And even then, like I can't name who's playing or who's singing, what the name of the song is, no matter how popular the song is. So I would have my sister burn CDs for me. And she like made a CD for my party.
So that you could have the music that makes you feel cool.
That people like, yeah.
I love this. That's a great sister.
Yeah. She wasn't always tying me to beds and leaving me while trying to say that she was including me in games and then tying me to bed and leave me.
Okay. This is called Broken Glass Angel Encounter. I feel like we both kind of chose more lighter stories this time.
Yeah, naturally.
So that's our theme together.
Okay. Actually, when I was picking my stories this time, I consciously was like, I feel like every time I pull stories for encounters, I look up demons. And I was like, I'm not going to use that search term today at all.
Look at you. We were counterbalancing each other because I would consciously look up lighter stories often because I knew you would come with the darkness. So I was like, I have to be the light.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I'll come to talk to you next week.
Next week? What day? What time? I'll lock the doors. You know my brain's not working anymore.
That's okay.
There's nothing happening.
You don't have to have anything happening.
It's like the sound of the clock in my grandparents' house. It just goes like tick, tick. Then every hour, it just chimes. It's the only thing going on in there.
I'm picturing the inside of your brain is the Hunger Games, the second one where they bring everyone back. And at every hour, there's like something that happens in a certain area.
Oh, yeah. I have those killer bees. What were those things? I don't know.
Tracker Jackers?
Tracker Jackers. I feel like my own memory is mocking me by not existing. Locked away. Okay. Howdy, friends. I have a short encounter today, possibly endearing, but personally, this one gives me the creeps.
Don't you just hate it when you're lying in bed for what feels like an eternity, tossing and turning, desperately trying to find that ideal position?
Well, 25 million Americans struggle with chronic insomnia, so you are not alone. But thankfully, Stellar Sleep has helped me and so many others break their insomnia cycles.
This podcast is sponsored by Stellar Sleep. If you have sleep problems, big or small, you need to try Stellar Sleep. Stellar Sleep revolutionizes how chronic insomnia is treated, offering the very first digital solution to all of your sleep issues. And what makes Stellar Sleep unique is that their focus is on sleep psychology. And so they help you tackle insomnia at the source rather than these short-term solutions like medications or just telling you like, oh, drink less coffee, which you're like, okay, thanks.
It's so funny. Anytime anyone talks about how they're having sleep problems, I'm like, you have to try Stellar Sleep. Like I rave about it. I can't stop talking about it. And in a clinical assessment of 500 people, 80% of Stellar Sleep users significantly improved their sleep, which on average led to 74 minutes in additional sleep time and 53 less minutes to fall asleep, which is a big deal. So learn how to sleep again with Stellar Sleep. Head to stellarsleep.com/TGOG for your free 7-day trial and then just $99 per year. Plus, you can cancel anytime within the first 30 days for a full refund. Once again, that's stellarsleep.com/TGOG for your free 7-day trial, then just $99 per year.
Okay. Trigger warning for some blood.
Oh.
This takes us back to the year 1987, where my mom and oldest sister were living in their apartment. She was about 4, my mom was 19. Since this is back in the 80s, the home wasn't properly baby-proofed. My mom decorated the bedroom with a large, frameless, thick glass body mirror on the ground and angled it to lean against the wall. One day, my sister was playing with it. 5-year-olds plus glass mirrors don't really mix well. So the mirror fell to the ground and shattered. My mom came running into the room to find a small 5-year-old surrounded by shards of broken glass, just crying. She picked up my sister, who was screaming that she stepped in glass, and my mom visibly saw the glass in her foot and she was bleeding. They stepped out of the danger zone and sat down on the bed together to get a better look at my sister's foot. My mom knew she could not grab the glass with her fingers, so she told my sister, hey, just stay put on the bed, and she ran and she got some tweezers. Once the tweezers were found in the bathroom, my mom starts making her way back into the bedroom when she hears giggling. Giggling? Mom walks into the bedroom and sees my sister smiling on the bed. What's so funny? She asks my sister, walking over and checking on her foot to remove this big chunk of glass. And then she realized the piece of the broken mirror in her foot, it's gone. My sister says, the angel came and took it out. And my sister's still smiling. And that's it. No glass to be found in my sister's foot. And then they wiped off the blood. They slapped on a Band-Aid. My mom cleaned up the rest of the broken mirror. My older sister was completely fine. They never even checked her foot later on to see if they had missed maybe some of the glass. But it just really wasn't there anymore. She still talks about this as she remembers the day that it happened, but can't specifically remember anything about the angel. I'm not religious, and I'm not really sure what to believe when it comes to angels, even ghosts, to be honest. But I know that something strange happened that day.
Yeah.
Thank you for reading. Hope to hear this someday on the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Kalani, they, them.
Kalani, I feel like your sister has a guardian angel.
Yes.
As a parent, being so concerned, it's like, oh my gosh, they're injured. I need to like be like very calm. How do I fix this? And then hearing what was a bawling child now giggling.
I know. It also makes me curious because I can see, like, there are some older people in my life that are very religious, and I can see, like, if they were haunting a house and they saw this happen, them going to help the little child and then just making remarks like, oh, well, you have to ask the angels to help you, like, just saying something like this. Yeah. That, like, maybe the child is like, oh, are you an angel then? And it's really just like the old lady who haunts the house helping her.
Well, yeah, because angel is such a specific word, too. You're right. Like,
yeah,
did they say I'm your guardian angel, or like how did the word angel?
Right.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's amazing. OK, actually, I have a question for you because I know you get very woozy and lightheaded when your own blood is being drawn and you can't like you don't like needles and stuff.
No.
How do you think you'll be around like blood if your kid scrapes a knee or gets injured? How do you think you'll be?
I think with blood, I'll be totally fine. I think with broken bones, I might pass out. Okay. If there are any broken bones. I know with blood I'll be fine because I've had to deal with it with Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
One time Brian got a nosebleed in the shower and he didn't know that he had a nosebleed. And I didn't know he had a nosebleed. And he just starts yelling, "Cran, Cran," and I like bust in the door. And he is covered in blood because the water has taken it all over his body. He like literally looked like Carrie. And I was just like, oh my God, you're okay. Like, so I already had to see someone literally covered in blood. Okay. And I didn't pass out. I think I go into action mode. It's really just like my own body freaks me out the most.
That's fair.
And if it's like, if I can see the inside parts on the outside.
Oh my God. There was one time, I still have a scar on one of my fingers, but I got avocado hand where I was cutting an avocado and I sliced my finger. Hmm. And I'm not the type of person who gets like weird about needles or anything.
Yeah.
I could see the like fat, like it went deep into my finger.
Oh, God. I know.
And I truly lost, I didn't lose consciousness, but I had to lay down. Like I was like, I'm going to faint.
It's so gross.
It was so gross.
Oh my God. No, I cannot. I can't watch any of that stuff.
You can't even talk about it.
I can't. I just could be right here. It's okay.
Okay, well, I have one more story to end us on, and I think you'll like this one.
All right. I need to go grab an ice pack and put it on the back of my neck. I'm going to just lean over.
This is from our listener, Sarah. I think that's how you pronounce it. And it's called "The Time My Dad Turned Into a Tree." Hey, ghouls. I hope this email finds you spookishly well. Happy New Year. I can't wait to see what this year brings for you too and the podcast. Here I am sending you my second email. I sent you one 2 years ago about how your podcast saved me from a car accident, and you read it and it made me so happy.
We remember.
So anyway, here I am back again with more. I just finished listening to your Tickled by Ghosts and Black Eyed Kids. So I figured I'd share my own personal creepy kid story with you. The two incidents I'm about to share were told to me by my mother. So this first one was when I was two. When I was 2 years old, my father passed away at the very young age of 22 years old in a tragic car accident, which deserves its own email on its own because there are a lot of paranormal incidents in that. But as I was saying, my dad passed away and I was very young. Therefore, I hardly remember any time I had with him. But from what my mother tells me, he was very invested and present in life. I was his little girl. Well, my mom told me that when my father died, my uncle, my mom's brother, had us stay with him for a while to make sure they kept a close watch on my mother and her emotional state. As you can imagine, my mother was a wreck. So there we were, my mom and 2-year-old me at my aunt and uncle's house. My mom shared with me that during our first night we stayed there, I began talking to an imaginary person. She said I would sit up at night, usually around midnight, which coincides with the time of my dad's death.
Oh.
And my mother says that she would wake up to find me sitting at the edge of the bed, talking and giggling, and sometimes even whimpering with someone she could not see. When she would ask me who I was talking to, I would always reply with, "Me poppy," which means my daddy.
That's so sweet.
My mom tells me she would low-key freak out and sometimes be scared of me, because these were not the only occasions I would see and talk to my dad. In our uncle's home, there was this huge backyard with so many trees. My mother says that I would always wander off into the cluster of trees towards the back of the yard, and she would find me hugging a tree and telling her this was dad.
This is making my heart melt. Because you just know her dad. Like there was some point where she was like, "Don't go. Like, I need you here," or whatever. And he was like, "I'm always here. Like, when you miss me, you can just come over here and hug this tree and I will feel it."
I know. She would go tell my aunt, and together they would have to pry me off the tree or convince me it wasn't my dad. I would have none of it. I would throw fits. I would hold on tighter to the tree and even tell my mom she was lying. My mother experienced a lot of paranormal incidents with me. And she said it was to the point where I could almost predict events in days to come. Or I would tell her my dad visited me in a dream and I was able to tell her things that only she would know. I lost that sensitivity to see my father as I grew older. She says that my innocence was fading and the more aware and alert I became to the world, the less able I was to see him. I'm not sure because I can always sense that he's near me. I still have dreams of him, and there's even an occasion where I strongly believe He saved my newborn daughter from being asphyxiated by my comforter.
Wow.
So when my ex-husband would leave for work, he would always bring the baby to bed with me. On one occasion, I was just so exhausted that I continued to sleep, and I guess I was in a deep sleep because I didn't hear my baby crying. However, in my sleep, I heard someone call my name. Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. And I promptly jolted up in panic to find my daughter's face flushed in sweat and crying. I quickly picked her up, and I'm sure that I saw a figure of a man walking out of my bedroom. Anyway, from what I was able to make out from seeing this figure, he was wearing burgundy slacks with a salmon-colored long-sleeve shirt. At the time, I couldn't recall any of this clothing, but when I mentioned it to my mom, she began to cry and told me, Sarah, that was your dad. He woke you up. He was there watching over Sammy, which is my daughter's name.
Chills, chills.
I know.
Goosebumps all over my body.
This is why I say this one for the last.
Yeah.
And I just know in my heart it was true. He did save my daughter. And he's always been there with me and my children. Even though I can no longer hug him through a tree or talk to him at midnight, I feel his presence, and that brings me comfort to know he has not left my side.
If you're like us, you like to treat yourself to something special for yourself, or maybe if you like to gift to someone, we have the perfect company for you. Jenny Kane is California brand through and through. Their staples make getting dressed easier, and I feel like so adult and mature and comfortable while I'm wearing all of my Jenny Kane clothing. We also have pillows from Jenny Kane.
They really do. And in fact, I just got a couple more throw pillows from Jenny Kane because I was like, oh, my couch is missing something. I just love them so much. They're so classic. And that's really just a statement for their entire collection, because Jenny Kane is designed so intentionally so that you can style pieces together without a second thought.
You also have the Shearling mules, don't you?
I do.
They're so
cute. Got my clogs.
I have the cotton fisherman sweater, and I could truly live in it.
They also have an incredible rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every purchase, and joining is completely free.
So find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code TGOG at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennikayne.com, promo code TGOG. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Okay, now this is my experience being a creepy kid, but the creepy kids did not stop there, because both my oldest son and youngest daughter, not Sammy, have had their share of creepy kid experiences. Now that they're older, they don't remember, but for both of them, there were some dark times. So when my son was around 4 years old, my ex-husband and I moved into an apartment where our stay there was extremely unpleasant. It was filled with a lot of chaos and conflict in our marriage. We were young. I was 21 and my ex-husband was 20. He worked in car sales and sometimes his hours were long. So I spent a lot of time at home alone with my son. I started noticing him, also like me, talking to someone and even sometimes getting upset, as if he refused to do certain things or play certain games. I remember one time he was sitting at the top of the stairs that leads to the bedrooms, and he was upset. I could hear him talking and saying something like, no, she's going to get mad. When I asked him who he was talking to, he would just say, girl. My son was a late talker, so he was still learning to talk in full sentences. I was really caught up in my depression that I didn't pay too much attention to what he was experiencing. However, one time I was in the kitchen prepping dinner, and our TV in the living room turned on to SpongeBob cartoons. When I peeked to look if my son was in the living room watching TV, he wasn't. He was sitting at the top of the steps looking down. So when I asked him who turned on the TV, he said, girl, mama, girl, and pointed to the couch.
Oh.
I got nervous and I called my husband, and he told me not to think much of it. So I let go of it and I just kept a close eye on my son. We experienced a few other minor events, but nothing like the one I'm about to share with you. One day, I was home with my son as usual. It was raining, and I decided we should just have a lazy day and hang out in my bed watching movies. This is during lunchtime, and we were both snacking on sandwiches when suddenly, from the corner of my eye, I noticed something move. When I sat up, I saw my son's rocking horse rocking back and forth very slowly. Mm-hmm. I leaned forward to make sure my eyes were not playing tricks on me when my son leans close to me and whispers, I'm scared.
Oh my God. I would scream.
That is when immediately the horse stopped moving, but it didn't just stop in the center where it would level out. No, it stopped in a forward position. This horse had little buttons on his ears that if you press them, it would say phrases like giddy up or let's ride. So when the horse stopped, I felt as if time stopped because the horse said a phrase I never heard it say. It said, I want to be your friend. I see you.
No.
Throw it away. Moment. I don't know how I did it. I grabbed my son, my keys, my phone, and we practically flew down the stairs. When I reached downstairs, my son's toys turned on by themselves. A battery-operated train, some Lightning McQueen car, and an ambulance, all of them, started going off. I was like, hell no, we are out of here. I went to my car. I called my husband, to which he came home after my call, and we ended up moving a month after. But later on with the years, I found out through people who had lived in that same complex that other apartments were also haunted. They were right next to a cemetery, and the children's side was near our end. So maybe there were some ghost kids in the house. I don't know. I would love to share my daughter's story, but that is a whole other email. So I'll send that one later. Hope I didn't bore you. No.
No, and not at all.
Hope you enjoyed. See you on the other side. Much love, Sarah.
Oh my gosh. These are so many experiences.
I know.
I'm so creeped out by the part where her son was like, Mama, I'm scared.
I know.
I almost feel like hearing those words are scarier than seeing a rocking chair just like leaning forward where it's like someone's on it.
It's so creepy, but it's also like with the context, it does seem like there's a kid here, but why did it escalate so much? Like, I love this idea that a child sees a mom and their son having this like very sweet, like movie day, lazy rainy day, watching movies in bed and wanting to join in. Escalation of, I want to be your friend. I see you. Then Sarah grabbing her son and running out and all of the toys going off. That is, oh, that escalation is horrifying.
I know. It's confusing too, because it's like her son did say girl twice and didn't seem scared, but was scared in this moment. So are these the same thing?
Or were there like a bunch of kids all of a sudden like in the, like the one girl was like, I have the best place for us all to have fun and play with so many toys. And she like brought the entire cemetery of ghost kids to their house.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't know. It is so freaky. It's again, this is like one of those things where we just don't understand what's going on in the spirit world.
Yeah.
Because there's stories like this where we can't quite align and match up. Like we want to believe it's just a little girl. It's, I don't know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But how special all the visitations from her father too. Like, just tugging on my heartstrings.
I know.
So special.
Sarah, I really do believe that you can still like go out and to the trees and maybe hug a tree. And I wonder if your dad will come through.
Yeah. I'm so curious what your son will experience too. Like what more he'll experience.
And there's apparently Sarah's daughter's experience we need to hear about.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I loved this episode.
Me too.
Sometimes we need stuff that's a little bit lighter and sad, but light.
Yeah, but it still had creepy elements. Yeah. It was a good mix.
Yeah. I mean, the paranormal, it can always be creepy.
Inherently creepy.
Well, if you have experienced anything creepy or touching or just weird with the paranormal, please email us at twogirlsoneghostpodcast@gmail.com.
And there are a variety of ways to support us. You can join us on Patreon, where you get access to episodes 1 week early and ad-free, and you get bonus episodes every month, and you get access to Campfire Stories every Tuesday, where you can join us. And if you don't like emailing or writing, you can actually come join us and tell your ghost story live. And there's so many other fun things on Patreon. Or just join our pyramid scheme and tell all your friends about us.
Yeah, we love that too.
You can be promoted.
Shout out to Jamie, who edits our audio and our video. And shout out to all of you for coming back every single week with your creepy little asses.
You creepy asses. We love you all.
And we will see you on the other side.
Very soon.